Hey everyone, John here. This week's episode is going to be rated for explicit. We're going to be talking about a lot of sensitive subjects as well as having a few swear words here and there. And to be honest, it kind of lends itself to the episode. So this week's episode is explicit. So if you are a parent and you have your kid listening, I advise them not to listen to this week's episode. If you do, that's on you guys, not on us. We've given you this warning. And we hope you enjoy this week's episode. And if not, we'll see you next week. Take it easy, everybody. Bye. What's up, everybody? This week, Sarah and I sit down and talk about the legacy of some of the musicians we sadly lost during the 90s. That and a whole lot more is to come on this week's episode of the 90s Podcast. Welcome to the show. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the 90s Podcast, right here on the Because Movie Network. Hope you're doing well today, and I'm joined by Sarah Connolly today. We recorded this at a different time than what I'm recording this right now. Couple of things, as we mentioned in the introduction, this is an explicit episode that was decided out as we were recording, because some of the stuff we're talking about is not really appropriate for younger children and younger listeners, so we made it explicit. We just dove straight into the conversation. We recorded two episodes at once. These episodes are going to be a little shorter than normal, but I wanted to break them up into two distinct episodes just because I think that a lot of the people we talk about are going to be more suited to talk about on a different episode, okay? So with that being said, go check out BeGosmoNetwork.com. That's where you find all of our archives. Check out our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter pages. And of course, you listen to this podcast wherever you listen to. We are on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podchaser, Pandora, YouTube, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn, Podbean, and Amazon Music. So we're going to go ahead and jump right in, and I will talk to you at the end of the episode when we've got some announcements. Take it easy, everybody. So this is John here. John, I'm joined by Sarah. Sarah, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you? I'm
doing pretty good. Let's excuse the preamble like we always do, and let's just dive right into it, okay?
Okay, let's dive.
So, as you know, as I mentioned a minute ago, the subject today is we're looking at the life and times of musicians who passed away during the 90s.
Yes.
They were either very, very important to the 90s music scene.
Yes.
Or they were just really, really important to music in general.
And happened to die in the 90s.
Right. And in some cases, both.
Right.
So,
some of these you'll be able to expect will be in here. Some of them you might not expect.
No. And some of them are going to have a lot more to be said than others.
Yes.
Because a lot of things have been said that hasn't been, you know, there's been said already. And, you know, tribute. This is a tribute episode rather than a
I feel like a Golden Globes. In memoriam.
Yes. But this is a salute in these guys and not, yes, you know, not just being morbid, if that makes sense.
Right.
So we're going to kick off with one of the biggest of all time, one of the most shocking musical deaths of all time.
Yes.
Queen's Freddie Mercury.
Yes.
So let's jump right out of the bat with that one, right?
Let's do it.
Yeah, so they can only get smaller from here, right?
Standing on the shoulders of giants or whatever.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, Freddie Mercury, what can you say about Freddie Mercury?
He had an excellent vocal range.
Yes.
And he was delightfully campy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, from the first gig to the last one.
Yes.
You know, he just... He always did that thing with the microphone stand that I loved.
Oh, it's just the top part of the stand?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, his
and
vocal
those things
range
are heavier than what you think they are.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, he was able to dance around with it and just sing without even missing a beat of everything.
Yeah, he had, you know, 4-octave range in his vocals.
Yeah. And he was a good songwriter as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, he wrote half of Queen's material. Half of the material the Queen released, he wrote some of it. I mean, a lot of that went to Brian May, who wrote a lot of it.
Sir Brian May.
Sir Brian May now, yes. He was knighted by the King. It's ironic, isn't it? The King knighting the Queen.
Yes.
It's then again, the Queen's knighted the King on several occasions when, you know, Paul McCartney got knighted.
This is true, yes.
So, you know, he was a phenomenal artist. And he wasn't just with Queen, too. He did a lot of solo work.
Mm-hmm.
He sung the theme song for the 1992 Barcelona Olympics.
Oh, fabulous. Now, that I did not know.
Now, he was already dead at that point, but he released and wrote a song The Olympics took place in 92.
Posthumously, they released a recording of him singing the theme tune for the Olympics. Yes. Okay, because the way that you, I thought we were going to get Hall of Freddy, like way before the
technology
was there.
No, he released a song in the 80s called Barcelona. Mm. And the Olympics in 1992 were held in Barcelona.
Barcelona, yeah.
And so it was re-released and used as a theme song and the anthem for the Olympics. And it is grand and majestic.
Of course, it's Freddie Mercury. The man did not sing a song that wasn't a sing-along.
No.
Every single song was built for stadium sing-alongs.
Yes.
All of them.
Yes.
Even the I want to ride my bicycle. Yes.
He had a fascination with bicycles.
I could make so many jokes right there, but I'm not going to.
Oh.
The thing is that he'd find them all funny because he had a wicked sense of humor. But Freddie had looked gaunt and sick for years before he died. If you looked at...
Late 80s Queen.
If you look at Live Aid... Freddie Mercury, and he was even sick then, but he didn't say anything. As opposed to towards the very end, those last couple of videos where, you know, like he's wearing the vest with all the cats on it. And I mean, he was very gaunt.
Yeah, so. I mean, he refused to admit that there was anything wrong. And when he did...
Well, yeah, he died the day after announcing he had AIDS.
Yeah, that was the shock.
Yeah, because I think he was the first big musical AIDS death, wasn't he?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, because like in sports, I remember there was Arthur Ashe.
Okay.
Who was a tennis player. And then, of course, also in sports, he didn't die, but there's Magic Johnson.
Yes.
But, I mean, as far as musically, I'm pretty sure he was the first...
He was the first known case. Let's put it that way.
Well, especially one that died.
Yes.
So, that was big.
Yes.
So...
I mean, just a day after announcing it, I remember, I was only 7, right? Mm-hmm. But I remember him announcing it, and my mother going, oh!
Like, yeah.
Nothing shocked that woman, but she was a huge Queen fan, she did Queen and Bowie fan, and she that shocked her.
Yeah.
And she was shook the next day when it was announced that, you know...
Well, yeah.
I mean, 6 o'clock news the day before... I'm sick. The 6 o'clock news the day after, I'm dead.
Right.
You know, I mean, and he was only 45 years old, which is not an age at all.
Right. Aside.
Yes.
Side story here.
Side story.
Because you know how my ADHD brain works?
Yes.
Okay. So Stuart Sutcliffe was the fifth Beatle.
Correct.
Okay, so you know the story about when he died?
No.
Okay, so they were playing in Hamburg.
Okay.
Right? And he had a German girlfriend named Astrid.
Okay.
Who was, I forget her last name, but she was a photographer. And she did all of those Beatles photographs of them back in the day with the leather jackets and the Elvis hair and all that stuff in Germany. Okay. Well, Stuart had, I'm wanting to say epilepsy. I could be wrong.
Okay.
But... he had had a really bad episode, and she had sent 2 telegrams, to his mother. The first one said that my Stuart is dying. The second one said that my Stuart is dead, but the lines got crossed and they got delivered crisscrossed.
Oh no.
Yeah.
So he's dead came first, and then he's sick came second.
Yeah. So, so it's kind of like because he died like the next day. And so, but when she sent him, they got crossed over. So, it sort of reminds me of this, you know, the whole I'm sick, I'm gone.
Yeah. I mean, Stuart Sutcliffe, I mean, he died of a brain aneurysm.
Brain aneurysm. I knew, yeah. Yeah.
So it's...
But he had hit big migraines and stuff. Like, he had been having episodes or something.
And sensitivity to light was really, really bad.
Yeah.
I mean...
I knew there was something.
That 21 is no age at all. Mm-hmm. We say 45 is no age, but 21 is definitely not an age. But, you know, Freddie's legacy...
Mm-hmm. Oh, God,
He has a legacy that's going to live the test of time.
Yes. Our children's 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 children will know the Bohemian Rhapsody part for Wayne's World, if nothing else. Or We Will Rock You.
Yeah.
Or We Are the Champions. Yeah, so...
And if they know one over here, if you know We Will Rock You, you know We Are the Champions, because they played simultaneously for some reason.
Yeah.
I never understood why that, but...
Because they're both short, and in order to make the 3-minute...
Okay.
So they were put together for radio edits.
Okay. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, look.
The more you know.
The more I know. Freddie is considered a musical god. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's an accomplished pianist, full vocal range.
Mm-hmm.
Full octave range. And.
Just cram a bunch of them in there.
And somebody said one time that it's a shame that Brian May doesn't sing too many Queen songs because he has the voice of an angel. And the reply was, well, Freddie Mercury has the voice of a god.
Mm, yeah.
And.
Yeah.
That right there, I think, sums it up right there.
There you go.
So, you know, we lost a lot of music, but...
Yeah.
You know. So the next person we're going to talk about is a Welsh music icon.
Okay.
Richie Edwards, also known as Richie James or Richie Manick from the Manic Street Preachers. He was a poet, and he mimed guitar on stage, right?
But he played air guitar?
He had a guitar, but he didn't play it, if that makes sense. Because he wasn't a good guitar player. He wasn't up to the standard of being in a band like the Manic Street Preachers. Right. So he just went on stage and performed, like performance artist. He did backing vocals too, but he was like the band's main songwriter.
Right.
And his lyrics... At the time, Manic Street Preachers were a political protest band. That's not two ways about it. 1989 and 1991, they released some real, real hardcore stuff in terms of protest songs. Like, one of their songs is called Repeat, and the lyric is, "Repeat after me, fuck Queen and Country."
Okay.
So, you know, that's how hardcore they were. They weren't hardcore in the music.
Right.
They were traditional rock, but in the lyrics, they were, you know, I mean... So he was the main songwriter, and he was just wild.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he would take anything he'd get his hands on. He would literally carve stuff into his arms in front of photographers and the music press. He once carved for real in his arm.
So he was like the Sid Vicious of his generation.
Yeah, but it wasn't outward anger, it was inward anger.
Right.
So he was very, very, you know, he was very, very depressed and very, very self-harm. And he would put it into his music, and his music was, you know, Manic Street Preachers are open socialist people.
Right.
So, you know, the openly Republican in the UK, which is completely different to Republican in the US.
Right.
You know, they want to end the monarchy and all that stuff. So, you know, he was really, really wild, but at the same time, you know, he was real, real talented at what he did, except play the guitar.
Well, okay. We can't all be good at everything.
No,
suppose.
We can't be good at everything. But I mean, he was an amazing, amazing songwriter. And you could tell the quality of the first three Manic Street Preachers albums where he did the majority of the songwriting.
Right.
Nicky Wire, who's the bass player, took over songwriting duties.
Right.
And did his own. Because the way it worked out is that the singer, the guitarist, and the drummer would write all the music.
Okay.
And then either Richie or Nicky would write the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
And the majority of the time, it was Richie Edwards who would write the lyrics.
Right.
And Nicky Wire wrote a chunk too, but his stuff was a little more softer in political nature.
Right.
I mean, when he took over full songwriting duties, he was writing songs about the Spanish Revolution, and so you know, it
tracks.
His political was different.
There's definitely a shift. Is what you're saying? Yes.
So the first three albums and half of the fourth album, you know, are absolutely stunning. I mean, they are like.
Right.
Some of the best music to ever come out of Britain. And I know the Manic Street Preachers are not well known in the United States, only to a handful of people, but the people I've shown them to are like, whoa, these are real, real, really good.
Right.
You know, and yeah, so that was Richie. I mean, he, as I mentioned, he dealt with
You said he had
demons.
Yeah, and then he's presumed to have committed suicide after leaving his car by the Severn Bridge in February of 95.
Yeah, he emptied his bank accounts, left a binder of lyrics and poetry with the band, and was never seen or heard of again.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, he's considered up there in some of the finest songwriters Britain's ever produced. I mean, you know, I mentioned the folder of music that he gave the band. They mm-hmm. finally got around to recording it, and that was in 2008, Journey right. for Plague Lovers. It's a really right. good album. And, yeah, that's the tale of Richie Edwards, Richie Manic, Richie, whatever you want to call him, Richie James, whatever. So he's, you know, like I said, one of the finest musicians that Wales has ever produced. Definitely.
Well, all right. And next we have another one that died in the 90s, but not, wasn't necessarily from the 90s. And that is the legend that was Jerry Garcia.
Yes.
So, as an aside, my youngest sister and her new husband just got back from a honeymoon in San Francisco. And I said, oh, you went to San Francisco? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, oh, so you went to Haight-Ashbury? What? Now, we're different generations. She is firmly late millennial.
Early
Gen Z.
Yeah.
And Zillennial. Yeah. And whereas I am late Gen X, early millennial.
Yeah.
So there, I was 15 when she was born.
Okay.
So there's a bit of a stretch. So, you know, she's like, Haight-Ashbury. I was like, oh my God, I cannot with you. I cannot with you. So, in the 60s at Haight-Ashbury, you would find the Grateful Dead. You would find Janis Joplin. You would find all kinds of people, especially all of the early 27 Club members.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but Jerry Garcia was a lead singer, guitarist, and songwriter for the Grateful Dead. The Grateful Dead were a rock band who performed for over 30 years.
For those who don't know who the Grateful Dead are.
Yes. If you think of those tie-dyed gummy bears from the 60s, that's the Grateful Dead. His own genres of playing included rock and psychedelia, blues, folk, jazz, country, bluegrass. Jerry could do it all. But also being a product of his time, and again, Haight-Ashbury. So he had many health and addiction issues. Of course, if you're around Haight-Ashbury, you're definitely going to, pot will be involved. But also, I know he did a lot of LSD in the 60s.
Yes.
And then there were pills later on in the 70s. So you had uppers and downers and quaaludes and this and that and the other. So, but over the years, he had many health and addiction issues. He had drug issues along with, he was a diabetic, which was not helping anything. Sleep apnea. And he was a heavy smoker.
Yes.
So,
that led to a lot of issues.
Yeah. So after, you know, you can only push the human body so hard for so long. And after just suffering a decline in his health, he relapsed on his drug use and checked himself into the Betty Ford Clinic. And he spent about 2 weeks there. And then he left to the Serenity Knowles Treatment Center, where he ended up
for the rest of his life.
Yes. And he died in his room there at Serenity Knowles on August 9th, 1995.
Yes. So I'm going to freely admit that I haven't heard too much of the Grateful Dead's material.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just he was a huge, huge star.
Well, and he's also the Grateful Dead. You know it if you heard him, but they're a big influence,
yes,
too, on a lot of things, especially a lot of 90s bands.
Yes.
They're huge. Fish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fish would not exist without Jerry Garcia. But, of course, you know, he's a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer.
Yep.
As well as being in the Songwriting Hall of Fame. People hold events all around the world every year celebrating him and the other dead. He is also one of the few, not the only, but one of the few rock stars to have his own Ben and Jerry's flavored cherry Garcia is so good. Yeah. It's like those Queen Anne's cherries that you get at Christmas, but in
ice cream form. Now, let me ask a question. Do you think it's insensitive to put a diabetic on an ice cream?
You get it sugar-free.
Okay.
They sell it sugar-free. They sell it non-dairy, too. Okay. So.
And not just he was a good songwriter and a good lead singer. He was a hell of a guitar player.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah, he's... his guitar playing has influenced...
A lot of people.
A lot of people. So, the next person that we're going to talk about
is dear to your heart.
Is one of my favorites. That's Bitty Bitty Bum Bum to Selena.
Okay.
So.
I'm going to let you take the wheel on this one because you were more familiar with her than I am.
Okay. All right. So, Selena... was a breakthrough artist in the Latino community.
Yes.
She had done quite a few Spanish albums that had done really, really well.
Okay.
And had just recently recorded her first full English album. She was basically called the Mexican Madonna.
Okay.
So, I mean, she was gorgeous and so talented. But the style of music that she performed is called Tejano, because she was from South Texas. So, which crossed Latin styles with Eastern European styles of music.
So it's like, I don't want to sound crass, but like it's mariachi mixed with Cossack.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. So, yeah, so Selena also started doing some TV and a couple of movie roles.
Okay.
Small ones. But, oh, goodness. So, in the South, in a lot of communities, I can't speak for the Hispanic community, but I can speak for what I've observed. And I'm not, like I said, I can't speak for the Hispanic community. But from what I understand, and the same with a lot of people in the South, when you have... someone like Selena, it's a family business. Like you keep your family close. Like your manager, maybe a family member. You know, when you're just starting out, if you're a singer and your cousin plays the drums or your brother does this, or you know, it's. I mean, you know, it's easier. Plus, those are people that you trust.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so it was really common in the with Hispanic singers. And even, I mean, country artists do the same thing. Like I said, I don't know if it's a Southern thing or what, but, you keep your inner circle very, very small. And these are people who you've known forever, ever.
Yes.
And if someone is in that circle, then they have the ultimate trust.
Okay.
Well, in that circle was Yolanda Saldivar, who managed Selena's fan club. She was an older woman. I think she was a slightly older than Selena's parents. So right about, you know, their age. But she had been Selena's fan club manager and had gotten along with Selena and the family really well. And Selena, if I'm not mistaken, I don't know if she was planning on starting a boutique of some sort. There was some sort of store. I don't know. But anyway, Yolanda had, if I remember this correctly, pilfered some money. And Selena found out about it. And confronted her. And Yolanda shot her and killed her in a motel room. Yeah, she had been embezzling money from the fan club in the store.
Yeah.
And so when Selena went to confront her about it, and Yolanda's, you know, crying and screaming. And, you know, I'm sorry, wouldn't mean whatever. Selena goes to leave, you know, and...
shot in the back.
Yeah, Saldivar shot her in the back.
Cowardly.
Mm-hmm.
Shooting someone's cowardly anyway, but shooting somebody in the back is even more cowardly. Yeah.
So, Selena is considered the queen of Tejano music. She has been credited for redefining Tejano as a whole, as well as Latin and Cumbria. She broke down barriers all over the music world, And her first posthumous album, which was the English album, made it to number one on the Billboard charts, a feat that no Latin artist had managed to at that point.
So she was a huge deal. I mean, there's a lot of Latino artists and Latina artists out right now who have huge legacies. Like, you're talking J-Lo, for example. You're talking...
J-Lo played her in a movie.
Really?
Yeah, in the Selena movie. Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. That was one of J-Lo's first big movie breaks, was playing Selena. So, but...
I mean, what the point I'm getting is these big Latin artists wouldn't have stood a chance without...
J-Lo might have, but I don't think Shakira would have been able to walk through the doors as easily as she did if it had been for Selena.
Okay.
Because... not that Jennifer isn't Latin. She, of course she is. I mean, I don't know exactly her
lineage.
Yeah. But... She's more New York, and I want to say I'm not cosmopolitan. That's what I'm looking for, but most of her stuff is English speaking anyway.
Okay,
you know, and so it was easier for
her to break in.
Yeah, whereas for a lot of like Spanish heavy artists like Shakira or you know like Selena really like you know stomped those doors down and like. Awesomely fabulous bell-bottom pants that sparkled.
One of my favorite shirts that you have is
my Selena shirt. My Selena sweatshirt, yeah.
Oh, my word. So let's move away from murders, and let's talk about two people who were murdered.
Okay.
Two people who were murdered who were murdered 6 months after each other. Now, I didn't know that. I thought they were murdered close together, like within weeks. But I didn't realize it was a six-month gap in the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about, and we're plugging these together because their story is intertwined so much.
Linked, yeah.
So we're talking about Biggie Smalls, mm-hmm. Notorious B.I.G., and Tupac Shakur.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we mentioned a second ago, we can't speak for certain communities. So we're just speaking on how they were affected in the whole popular realm.
Right.
You know, gangster rap. Was huge.
Yes.
I mean, you had...
It's so funny to hear your accent say the words gangster rap. I'm just saying.
It came to the UK. It came to... Stuff like Public Enemy came to the UK and NWA came to the UK. And they had huge concerts selling out and, you know...
Very cool.
Yeah, I mean...
You're more cultured than I thought you were.
Oh, yeah.
I'm kidding.
And I didn't go to them because I was like six, but, you know...
Right. Oh, God.
But it's funny listening to Mancunians and Scousers singing Straight Out of Compton back to NWA.
Right.
Yeah, Noel Gallagher went to see him. He went to see the Public Enemy, excuse me.
Right.
And he was enamored by Flavor Flav.
Of course he was. Yeah. After the ring story, that doesn't surprise me at all. Okay, so all right, so what you need to know is that rap music at that point in time was and still to this day, but it was very much like representing like you got in the game representing where you were from.
Yes.
Now, it could be the inside of anywhere from the side of the country you were from to the side of town you were from. But if you were look at everything geographically, California was death row. And you had Dre, Snoop, Tupac.
Eazy-E,
Ice Cube. You and MC Hammer, but that's another. Story
you know he released a gangster rap album.
Yes, I know. We're gonna have to do an episode just on MC Hammer and that.
Okay.
Because I have things to say, which will anyway.
You can say them now.
Oh, I could. Yeah, but yeah. All right. Hang on. I'm getting off topic. Okay. So. And then you had Bad Boy Entertainment on the East Coast,
yep.
Which was Biggie and Puffy and Nas and Lil' Kim and Faith Evans, who was Biggie's wife. So you had, you know, and then, of course, they were all intertwined with Jay-Z and all your New York peeps, yeah. Right? So you had East Coast and West Coast. Okay. So, but they, you know, when you rep your side, sometimes there's beef and you talk smack. And sometimes it's real smack and sometimes it's not real smack. It's, you know, it's for the press because all, you know, it all makes money.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so they, there was a, for lack of a better term, rap war back in the day, back in the mid-90s. And Tupac was shot on the Las Vegas Strip at Circus Circus. I know this from my son. On September 13th of 1996, my son was most upset because when he went to Vegas with his friends and they drove down the strip, they wouldn't drive by. He's a huge fan and let him pay tribute to Tupac outside of Circus Circus. He was most upset. Anyway, so, but yeah, Tupac was killed on the strip. And people were saying that East Coast took him out. So even Biggie said that somebody there was, you know.
No, people thought that he was involved.
Yeah.
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 So, you know, whether he was involved or not is irrelevant because, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, the Biggie was involved. It's been said afterward, after it was all said and done, that his killing was more than likely linked to Compton gangs as a retaliation for Tupac beating up a member of their gang. Maybe. I'm on Team Suge on this one. So, of course, unless he shows up, in which I never, ever said that, because that man scares the bejesus out of me. He scares the bejesus.
He scares everyone.
Yes, just ask Vanilla Ice, who he hung by his ankle off a balcony for hours. Anyway.
Well, he didn't solve that problem.
Great. So, all right. So, I'm rabbiting here. Let's get back on track.
Yeah.
So, 6 months after Pac was shot, Biggie was murdered in a drive-by shooting in the L.A. area on March 9th of the next year, 1997.
Almost 6 months of the day.
Mm-hmm. So, this, too, was linked to gang violence. And was also said that this could have been a retaliation by people who thought that Biggie had been involved in the Tupac shooting.
He was on their turf.
Yeah. I don't think Biggie had anything to do.
Don't think they had anything to do with either of them. It was just random gang violence.
Okay. I'm not saying that.
Okay.
I'm saying I would... I'm not really a betting woman, but I would... I don't have any money to bet, but I have yarn. I would bet some yarn, some good yarn, that Biggie had absolutely nothing to do with Pac being shot.
Okay.
Now, were there any West Coast folks that had anything to do with either of them being shot? Possibly. I can comfortably live my life with saying the words "put nothing past Suge Knight."
Okay.
So anyway.
Now didn't they have like after the gang violence stepped up? Didn't like mm-hmm. one representative from each side get together and like yeah. say stop it? And
yeah.
I read that, and if I read it correctly, it was Puff Daddy and Snoop Dogg who got together and said no more of this crap.
Yeah. Yeah. So, because it was getting really, really, yeah. But both are considered some of the finest rappers of their generation. Pac has sold more than 75 million records, while Biggie has sold close to 50 million. I personally, there's, in the same vein that I say that Bono is Antichrist, Tupac's not dead. because the man has released more posthumous albums than
anyone.
Even Elvis is like, what? So
somebody said that they're running a Burger King in the Bahamas. Elvis is the manager, and
right.
we've got you know, the delivery guys and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, that's, you know, they just, I mean, good Lord, I mean,
yeah,
just a lot of people, man, a lot of you know, a lot of people know. And there's a lot of tight lips out there, and there's only a handful of people who know what really happened.
Oh yeah, we'll never know.
We'll never know.
Biggie had, you know, game, because I mean, he was married to Faith Evans, but with Lil Kim at the same time.
Mm.
And yeah. Anyway, but they were both really, really talented men. Extremely. Like, yes. Their lyrics are beyond amazing. So they were both really, really talented men that left us entirely, senselessly too soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Thank you to Sarah Connolly for taking the time out of her busy day to sit down and talk about some of the musicians that we lost during the 90s. I hope our tributes were worthy enough for them, and you know, you guys enjoyed it, and we enjoyed recording it in a kind of cathartic way, if that makes sense. So yeah, it was an interesting recording session, and I'm glad that we did do it, and we've got more of it to come. Next week, as I mentioned, Sarah will be back as we continue our discussion and finish our discussion on some of the musicians that we lost during the 90s. Got some big hitters in there, and we also have a small list of people who we don't have the time to go into talk about, but we pay tribute to them anyway. Also, over on our YouTube channel, we have the final two episodes of our Monkey Island series. Yes, so go ahead and reach over and see if Guybrush gets what he wants or gets what he deserves. That's ominous, isn't it? Yes. Also, an update on the Paper Mario series. We are not streaming a day at streamer this coming Saturday. I will be out of town, so I'm not going to be able to sit down at my desk and record a season, because I'm not going to be there. I'm going to be somewhere else. I'm going to be halfway across the state by the time I should be sitting in my chair doing Mario stuff. So that's going to be postponed until the following Saturday, which is not this Saturday, but the Saturday after. And that is it, really, for all I have to say. So if you've been listening, you'll know to check our archives at becausemovienetwork.com. Go check out our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter pages for all the latest news and happenings of the Because Movie Network. And if you're not listening to this where you usually listen to podcasts, we are on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podchaser, Pandora, YouTube, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn, Podbean, or Amazon Music, okay? And I just love saying that. It just rolls off the tongue, especially since I haven't memorized now. I still can't believe we're on Google Podcasts after all the effort that we went through. But yes, so that is it. So remember, everybody, drink some water. Say your prayers, take your vitamins, wear a mask, shower, hydrate. I'm looking at myself when I say that. And we will be back next week. So I never really know how to end these things, so I'm just going to say, take it easy, everybody. Goodbye.